But it's so good to have you two jokers back, lah.
It's a lot of meat here.
Yeah.
Thanks. In the middle.
He's got a lot of meat.
I'm the meat in the middle, being sandwiched by the two of you.
Huh? He's now put on a lot of meat.
This is the top slice, and this is the bottom slice of bread.
Top slice is a thinner slice, you see.
I'm the top slice, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I'm the thick slice.
Right. And you know, guys, you know something? It is so strange for me to introduce a show for this particular one. This is the season finale and the first anniversary show. It has been 1 year of the Chris Hansen Conversation. And it's only fitting.
Cue applause.
Yes, applause.
Cue applause. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. And it's only fitting that I have these two jokers back with me.
I absolutely am upset with the use of the word jokers.
Now, cue laugh track. Oh,
yeah.
These two. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe I'm going through this all over again, man. Yeah, how long has it been? It's been what, 2 years?
2 years.
I said 3 years, actually.
Two and a half.
3 years.
I said 3 years.
3 years. 3 years, man.
Yeah, well, I progressed
since our last
a lot.
Show.
Yeah.
Got another granddaughter.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Congratulations.
Oh, wait, you should introduce us because I don't think you have.
No, people would know. Hello. This is not Ayu or not. This one is the Chris Hansen Conversation. I was about to go there.
Yeah. Okay.
I was about to go. Be patient, yeah? You know, you see three persons on the screen. We used to have a show in the other production. Unhappily so, we are no longer on that show. But it's always good to have these two back in studio with me because that show that we had was an opinion show. And we had a whole lot of fun doing it. And so on this season finale episode, I am glad to have these two guys back as a reunion of that show called In Our Humble Opinion. And now they're back on my show, The Chris Hansen Conversation. And on my left, I have the Doctor of Bling, the Professor of Healthonomics, if there's such a word, and the Purveyor of Everything Aesthetics. And he is Gilbert Chia. Say hi.
Woo!
Hello, everybody.
Yes.
And on my right, I have a person that you might think, just imagine a field of flowers with that favorite color yellow. And she is Grandma Daisy.
Hello.
Daisy Rani. Say hi again.
Thank you for having us back.
No, really. It's my pleasure. Thank
so
you for being
excited
here.
Yes, thank you.
Excited really, to be here.
Really. It's so nice
donating
to meet you guys.
Donating your season finale for this reunion.
Yeah. I mean, I had this plan for the last, as a matter of fact, 2 months. Since we started shoots for season three.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now season three. And this is the last show for season three before we take a break and come back with season four. It has been three seasons in a very short span of time in 1 year. So,
and congratulations on getting 13,000 subscribers.
Hey, thanks, man. On YouTube. Yeah thank you YouTube. So very much.
It's a lot of hard work, man. Achievement.
Thank you.
Hard work always pays off.
Oh, yeah. Always. No substitute for hard work.
Yeah.
But you have to quickly get 14,000 because 13 unlucky number.
No need. It's my lucky number.
Ah, okay.
So we are there at the correct place.
Okay, they've really started. Anyway, again, it's great to have you guys back for this reunion show. And you know, I'm going to do it this way. That's what Gilbert said earlier. You got to introduce us. Yeah, I already have. But I want to throw it to you guys. Gilbert Chia, can you please tell my audience who and what is Gilbert Chia all about?
Alamak, this I'm not prepared for.
I know.
Okay, wait, I'm being blocked. Okay, very briefly, I used to be in magazine publishing and media. I was worked in the US for 20 years, came back to Singapore, worked at MediaWorks, and then became managing director of Tatler Singapore, luxury brand for 12 years. And now I am running a luxury brand consulting agency, and I work for American Vogue. I work for Anna Wintour.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
this guy.
And for some wonderful time, we were doing podcasting. I was doing podcasting with these two. And I also have my own Facebook page called Health Zone Singapore, which is all about health and wellness from a Singapore perspective. So you guys should check that out. It's called Health Zone Singapore.
Gilbert knows especially a lot about conjunctivitis.
Da? That comes out so wrong.
He always
likes to say, guys have been following Chris for all of these seasons, you know he has a lot of nonsense.
You wanted to say another word like BS was
full of shit.
BS.
Yeah.
No, don't say BS. BS is so passé these days, Daisy.
Sorry.
It's full of shit, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So FOS.
Chris.
FOS.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
of shit. Okay. And on my right, you may recognize it, but I'm going to ask you to do it yourself. Daisy Irani. Who and what is Daisy Irani all about?
Well, like you introduced me, mm-hmm. Daisy Irani is a grandma, a very proud grandma, but I have also been doing in the media. I've been in the media for over, I don't know, 3 decades. In Media Corp, where I was the vice president for content. And I think what I'm really known for is Under One Roof. I played the pesky neighbor next door, who also happened to be called Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And have been doing a lot more television shows like Incredible Tales, Mata Mata, over the years, Fabulous Journey. And now that I'm no more with Media Corp, I mostly do a lot of theater. And I'm always on the lookout for projects. Mm-hmm. So your 13,000 subscribers know, if they have a project, I'm here waiting to work with them. That was such a good pitch, right?
Well, not bad at all. I mean, you slid that one in quite nicely.
Yeah.
So your character in Under One Roof, the sitcom, was also called Daisy.
Yes.
Was it deliberate or what?
No, absolutely not. I think what really happened was that I came in for the audition. I had just come in from Bombay.
Right.
And I was acting there with the Indian National Theatre,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, nobody here had a clue about. I went in to interview for a job because I was desperate. I had Kiwi located to Singapore with my husband. Nothing to do, looking around. What am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
I saw this ad in the Straits Times. Mm-hmm. I went for an interview for executive producer.
Mm.
And whilst I was interviewing, it so happened the person who was interviewing me, and I really thank him always, it was Kenneth Liang.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Kenna. Yeah, mm-hmm. and he said, why don't you audition? And I was like, that's what I would have really loved to do. So mm-hmm. I went and auditioned for Under One Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this role of the Indian neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But the character was actually written as Lakshmi.
Okay.
But then they looked at me and they said, she's good, you know. They were all whispering. Maybe she's acted before. She's quite good. Have you any experience? We had no social media those days. Nobody had a clue where I'd come from, what was mm-hmm. happening. But she doesn't look like a Lakshmi. That's for sure. So then after a lot of discussion, they said, what is your name? I said, Daisy. That sounds like a good name. So you can't really pinpoint where is she from.
Wait,
Daisy is such
Does
a...
Does she look like a Lakshmi or not?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe if you wore a sari.
I can become Lakshmi if you want.
Yes. Then.
But at that time when I auditioned, I was this professional, this pesky neighbor, and I had a car. It took all the kids to school or work. But we had a fabulous time. Under One Roof will be remembered as the first sitcom in this country forever.
That is
and
true.
It helped me a lot
that
to
is
get
true.
Where I did.
You know what we're supposed to be talking about today? We're not going to do this like we used to do. I'm not going to throw up articles and stuff like that while I sent you guys material, right? So now let's bring back the old IO.
Mm.
What is wokeism and how do you think it's impacting community?
Shall I start?
Of course.
You have to, Gilbert. You always do.
It is a very trigger word because it's being used now, especially in the US, by the Republicans in the right wing, especially someone like Ron DeSantis in Governor of Florida, to sort of say that, these are all the left-wing people who are woke. And I think it depends on how you define the word because it's a very loaded word.
Okay.
the way that in general, people are just saying that, oh, you know, you just are trying to be very inclusive and make sure that you include everyone, all the minorities, every possible race, gender, etc., and to make sure that they are all represented. So that's one way of looking at that.
Yeah.
And personally, I have no problem at all with being considered woke or people are talking about woke. But with everything else, right, there's all these extremes. So I think that we have to be very careful about that, because if either side goes extreme, then it becomes ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you do see that happening on both sides. I think America has become more and more of a cautionary tale in the world of what not to do when you have extremists on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So I think that here in Singapore, I don't think we're have that danger. One of the things about Singapore, actually, if you think about it, is that the government has actually been very careful ever since Lee Kuan Yew's time to include all the races. We've got four main races, languages, and religions. We celebrate all of the holidays. There is no one race that has got a preponderance of the holidays. They try to be very exclusive, inclusive. Even the HDB flats, you have to make sure that their people are living together. You know, so I think in a way, if you were to use the Republican definition of woke in America right now, Singapore government has actually been very woke for a very long time because they're very inclusive. Mm. I don't see a problem with that. Again, with the caveat that extremism on either end is dangerous.
Okay. Daisy, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Gilbert. The word woke itself evokes the connotation of being awake, wake up, be aware of what is happening around you. It is a social phenomenon right now. It's taken over. And what I liked about woke, it's been a journey, was that it was about accountability.
Mm.
Accountability with organizations, with individuals, about making sure there's no racial discrimination, about taking a stance on, no, we are awake now. You can't push us around. You know, just because you are powerful, just because you're in a position where you can call the shots, no more. So I also like the idea, you know, it empowers people, the workers, those who have not been able to speak up, those communities that have been oppressed. They can now speak up and say, no, we are awake, no more. And that's that awareness, that awakening is what it means for me. And I agree with you, you know, Gilbert. It's how far, what extent do you take it to, which is going to make all the difference.
I am so surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very surprised. I really thought the two of you would look at it from an angle of where it should be frowned upon. But no, I'm not. Based on what I'm hearing. Okay, I hear you. I hear both of you. When we talk about race, you're talking about in America, right? In the context of race, right? I'm looking at it from another perspective, okay? I'm looking at it from the perspective as mentioned by Associate Law Professor Eugene Tan from SMU. He gave these two, I wouldn't say definitions, but this is what his thoughts are. Let me read this to you.
Mm.
He said there remains no accepted definition of canceling. And as such, any proposed law, because the government was looking, I don't know whether they still are, this was early 2023, into how they can actually put it into law, you know, against cancel culture, which is part and parcel of wokeism.
Okay. Correct.
There's a big difference.
Okay.
You start by being awake.
Yes.
And what then, you do with being awake,
it doesn't automatically lead to.
But that's why we talked about the journey. Yeah. You are awake. There is an understanding. And then that journey what leads you to
How can we say that canceling, the cancel culture, the call out culture that leads to cancel culture, isn't caused by a culture of being woke?
It's not that it isn't caused by.
It is like an awareness, isn't it?
It is not an inevitable journey. That Correct. Means to say, I can be, for example, against racism. It does not mean that I want to cancel people. Because the word cancel culture itself is very loaded and it can mean different things, all right? So I can be very anti-racist but not agree with cancel culture. You see what I'm saying? So when we first started talking 5 minutes ago, we were talking about wokeism and just being woke, which to me simply means being aware about minority rights, about hurting people's feelings and all of these things. Doesn't automatically mean that it leads to cancel culture.
But over time, haven't we realized that woke culture has also led to this?
That would be like saying that if you are anti-racist, you're automatically going to have cancel culture, which is not true.
No, outside of racism. Let's just not use racism for a minute.
Okay, but
let's talk about what's that one called in the US when it came to the Weinstein scandal?
Me Too movement, right?
Yeah. The Me Too movement led to quite a number of other people getting into trouble. Celebrities, people of means. Okay, let's put it that way. Of course, naturally, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. We've had Bill Cosby, right?
Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. Okay, all well and good. And that rapper that's the worst one. The one with the child pedophilia.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. What's his name? Jeez, I can't remember his name. Mm. R. Kelly. Mm. Okay.
Yes.
But what happened to people like Kevin Spacey? He was accused. He was acquitted by the courts in the UK, I think a couple of months ago. He went through years of suffering. When you have this woke culture...
But that would be the same as if someone's accused of rape, right? Because you're not talking about woke culture there. That one is sexual assault.
But it all happened in the wake of all that.
Chris, okay. I think we're jumping the gun here.
Yes.
How are we jumping the gun?
I'll explain to you how.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, Grandma.
There is a journey. Something starts off like the Me Too movement.
It's awareness.
Yes. And what happens after that?
Yes.
Does it snowball and go into an area which is dark, which has to be harnessed back by laws? Or does it carry on into so that the oppressed, yes, and the oppressed benefit.
Yep.
Like, for example, cancel culture refers to an act of collectively boycotting and alienating individuals or groups for their opinions.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that you mentioned, let's look at it this way. There have been enough powerful people who have oppressed or groups or communities that have been oppressed and have not been able to do anything.
Yep.
And then you wake up one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come to Me Too, or you come to Black Lives Matter, and then you push that and push that. No, hold on. Because you mentioned names, right? So you push that to a point where this line starts blurring. It becomes a kangaroo court. It becomes a vigilante becomes a justice.
Yes.
Now,
you have people, like you mentioned, there are people like that, the American footballer, Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick.
Who took the knee, took the stand.
Very quiet.
And one knows that there was a lot of cancel and social buzz and what happened with that cancel culture. So when you mention something, the point is you have to first go and see what are the pros and the cons. What is happening to it now?
Mm.
What is happening to J.K. Rowling? She spoke up and then it's cancel. They beat you down.
Mm.
But then there are those who needed beating down.
Yeah.
And if there was no cancel culture, would you have been able to get there?
But don't you think
I think it comes to accountability. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
For your words, for your actions and how you express them. And then, of course, there is the danger of the mob rule, which I think whether or not there is wokeism and all of that, the internet and the mob have always been there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, back in the old days, it was the people with the pitchforks and the torches going to the...
But the problem, Gil, is that they've given a sort of a terminology to these sort of things. And it's called cancel, calling out.
Okay, back in the old days, it was just called boycott.
You know, so you're so right.
I think it's even more prevalent now.
No, you see, okay, I want to just take you up on that. Because having worked in the industry for so long,
yeah,
we know that this sort of thing has always happened. I know, I'm sure I've been cancelled somewhere or the other because you have people going to HR and actually just turning around and telling them, don't hire this artist again because of whatever. Or we don't want Daisy because of XYZ. Yeah, yeah. And that in its own way was cancelled.
Yes, yes.
Today, it's a different kind of cancel.
Yeah, because it's mass. And that is just a function of the internet giving
social
voice
media, basically.
Social media.
Social media, yeah.
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying it's deeper today. It's more prevalent today because of social media. You know, social media actually can do its good and has got its bad. The three of us know that. You know, for example, I outside of the topic of cancel culture, I had, on my show, I've got another vertical, I've got a few verticals. One is called, tribute to SG music icons, Singapore music icons. Mm. And I've had my chats with a lot of these icons. Yeah. And, I asked this question. I asked John Klass this question last week. Mm. I said, you know, I don't understand the passion people have for, say, Taylor Swift, the concert. Mm. Now, I'm not taking anything away from her. Mm. She works really hard and it's very evident. Mm. Her sets and her choreography and everything in her concert's amazing. Yeah. But when we compare her to, say, musos, artists, stars of old, from before, people like Janet Jackson, right? Even Michael Jackson, you know, they were fantastic as well. Mm. But it's never come to a point where you can have a government, I'm not saying they've done it wrong. No, I'm not saying that. They could actually take a trip down to the US with an entourage, with a minister, and go, hey, can you perform in Singapore? And exclusive to us. Mm. And we will give you subsidy, blah, 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 blah. It's never happened before because they said, and we all know this today, that it's going to be great for the economy. Mm. Let me just speak broadly there. Mm. I'm not going to go into details. Mm. Yeah. This person, and I asked John this, and he said to me, Chris, I checked in my daughter. She loves Taylor Swift. Mm. And it is about how she presents herself on social media. Mm. She shares him. She bears her heart and soul on social media. Mm. And people have a taking to her.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so it's...
connection.
A connection.
Yeah.
So
beyond the music.
If it was... Yeah, beyond the music. If Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, I don't know how well they would do, you know, on social media, if it was available in a day.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, but as musicians, as performers, they were great, you know? So this is a different animal. So now that this social media thing, when it comes to me, if I go out there and I become an activist for something, can it be abused even more?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. So the interpretation of things can get warped, you know?
But it doesn't mean that just because it can be abused that the cause itself is wrong. Because anything that you can put on social media can be amplified and distorted and made worse. And while we're on this subject, there's something which I want to bring up because this is something which I think is interesting to people, which a lot of people may not be aware
of.
That's
your camera. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I can look at myself in the screen here. Yeah. And this is the thing. I think that social media has become a monster that we cannot control anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a lot more that is bad about it than there is good about it. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Facebook lives and dies by an algorithm. And the algorithm figured out long ago that nothing gets people more engaged on the platform and staying and commenting than to get them enraged. It really found that people, when they're angry, much more than when they're happy, will stick around and post comments and keep checking the comments and reply to comments. Because you're happy and you just post a comment like, oh, I'm so happy that this article came out, you know, that's it. You'll go about your own daily life. But if you read something there that makes you very angry, that really makes you much more invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the algorithm rewards enragement. And you know what they do? I'll tell you what. What they do then is the comments which are the most enraging get pushed to the top by the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So you're reading an article, anything. It could
engagement,
be.
Engagement, yeah.
Yeah. enragement equals engagement. Seriously, that's what they have found out. You know, they market that enragement.
Yeah.
So in the past, when you read an article and there are people making comments, in order for you to read comments, you got to go and click on the comments.
Yep.
And then when you click on comments, you are in deep shit. Basically, you're like, oh my God, what are these people saying? Then you get angry and all that.
Yep.
So smart people have learned, you read the article, don't go and read the comments. Mm. But Facebook then realized, oh, people are not reading the comments. You know what we're going to do? When you're scrolling the newsfeed, they're going to pull out the most enraging comment and they're going to put it there so you cannot miss it. As you're going to the next story, you will see one comment there that will be really enraging. You know, and some of the things there are really just horrible. People will say things, you know. And so it has led to this great polarization, and online people are not seeing each other face to face. So they get very angry and very worked up and they hate each other. So it's led to really a lot. And it's led to terrible things. You know, for example, in Burma, Myanmar, it has led to the demonization of the Rohingya people. They would say things and spread fake news on social media about the Rohingya that led to people attacking their villages, burning down their homes, attacking them. Same thing happened in Bangladesh. A lot of developing countries where hate is really spreads very quickly, social media has done that, you see. Mm. So if you actually watch the documentary, for example, the Social Dilemma, you will actually see how dangerous this is. Okay. So that's just something I think we all need to be aware of when we consume social media, that we are being manipulated, we are being used in this way to feed the algorithm and to get more engagement. So anything that people are talking about, whether it is something innocuous or something loaded, is going to get amplified on social media and distorted much, much more. So we have to be very careful. So I agree with you, Chris, on that point. Something small and innocent can become ignited.
Correct.
Because of social media.
Yeah. You know, Chris, you mentioned, sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned about the music and the bands. And so I just wanted to share
a story. No, this is outside of this
topic. But I just wanted to share a story because the phrase cancelled apparently came from the lyrics of a song by a band called The Chic in 1981, where they had a song called Your Love is Cancelled. And so, you know, I just thought that it was something nice to share, that maybe the word cancelled was hovering above, you know, from 1981. But what you were talking about, the greats, maybe like Janet Jackson, for me, the question would be, yes, Taylor Swift is fantastic. Janet Jackson is fantastic. But where cancel culture comes into play is, do I have right now the courage, for whatever reason, to come up and say, you know what? I think Janet Jackson was far better than Taylor Swift. And, you know, that's what it was all about. And maybe I even have my justification.
Yeah, well,
I understand it. Yeah. It's my opinion. And that's where the line gets blurred. Because there could be millions of Swifties out there who would attack and say, how dare you?
I think how if they would you? Simply...
And that's what we were talking about for cancel culture.
Rebut you and disagree with you, that's one thing. That's fine. That's the back and forth.
Right. But
if they go and try to get you fired from your job or whatever, that is cancel culture.
That's of course, it's not going
to be about something like music.
Yeah.
But in other topics, it will certainly be.
I mean, you know, let's say from both sides, you know, I just put it to you this way. If you recall 3 years ago when we were on that show, we had a lot of sources. We used to have a lot of our sources coming out of this particular online periodical, if I can call it that, Mothership, right? It was quite decent then. But in these days, right, I noticed, oh my gosh, the headlines are just awful. It's meant to sensationalize. It's become like a tabloid. And then they report stories about, oh, this guy... the girlfriend did this to him, and then it was taken by someone, a video, you know, and things that happen to people's personal private lives is splashed on Mothership. And to me, it's meant to generate some form of sensationalism and in resulting people getting hurt.
Right. So the question would be, if I would question Chris and say, all right, this is what you feel about Mothership right now.
No. I'm not insulting them. I'm saying that there has been a stark directional change.
Correct. So the question to people who are reading it would be, would you be able to go out there and say, this is what we feel. And if this is the way you continue just sensationalizing the topics and not giving a lot of fact or, you know, causing divisiveness, me and the whole community along with me will cancel you. Just I'm just throwing it out there.
But this is...
I know what you mean when you say cancel. Okay, I'm going to take the other side, all right? I'm going to talk about the pros. What has happened is now every time we talk about the word cancel, we always think about the extreme, which is prevalent because groups can come to a point where they, like you correctly said, you have to lose your job or we will work on you and work on you till you are annihilated, you know, totally out from this universe. But then the reason why it started, the intent was right to be able to call out people.
Yeah.
So I'm just taking a step back because what has happened is in this journey is that the way it has moved, with the swiftness it has moved, it has taken people aback.
Yeah.
But when it started, the reason and what happened, the powerful being called out, the governments being called out, oppressors being called out, being told, no, we are not going to take this. And then somewhere we lost this whole...
We lost humanity.
We lost our... But you see, the thing is,
human nature is like that. Human nature can take anything to an extreme. You can take a religion that teaches peace and forgiveness and make it extremist. So my point basically is that we have to watch for the extremists. On every end, we have to watch for the extremists. And you know, the thing is that, put it into local context, okay? Singapore actually has got a lot of safeguards against the extremists here. Because, for example, you have POFMA. The government can take out a POFMA against you if you print fake news, which does not exist in the US. In the US, you can print the most ridiculous, absurd things and put it on media, on the internet, and there is no recourse. But in Singapore, there is that. There is also, in Singapore, the protection against harassment online. If someone chooses to harass you, you can get protection from them. That is all here in Singapore. So I think that here in the local context, the internet is a safer place than it would be outside.
But yeah, but then again, in hindsight, if you think about it, right, having these rules and laws, right, could also be abused easily, you know. You think about this. It's
how
there's a certain amount of free speech that you would try. You now would tap the brakes, sometimes even jam on the brakes, and say, "You know, I want to talk about this, say my piece about something, but I'm stopping myself from doing so because I'm afraid of getting into trouble in every which way of A, being cancelled. That's one, by the mob. Yeah." B, would I be stepping on any boundaries that I'm not sure about? You know, and then things might be misinterpreted. Then after that, I get called out. Then you have a lot of people out there love to virtue signal. Mm. See, that's my worry. My worry is always about having a lynch mob, you know, frankly. Now you see, it's a lot of, I will not really go into details, but I'm pretty sure, that there are corporate governance going around for most businesses and companies that will say that you cannot do this, cannot say that, you cannot go out there in the public sphere or online sphere without our purview, without our say-so, even in your own personal capacity, you know? And then it makes everyone worry that, look, listen, a certain amount of civil liberties are inadvertently, indirectly being taken away from me.
Okay, I'm
not saying it's happening to me. I'm just saying that this is...
I think that in terms of the laws, they're very clear. They are, you cannot be too extreme. You cannot say, this race is this. I hate this religion.
Is it very clear, Gilbert?
All of
really?
That. Yes, it is very clear. The laws are. But if you're talking about sort of the guidelines and rules, that has been around in Singapore for a long time, even before the internet. Way before
what
culture.
Sure, granted. You know? Yeah.
Can I... just mention something about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's what has happened with cancel culture. So, it's in a way, it threatens the freedom of speech. How does it threaten? Because I think people have started becoming more aware and sometimes holding back. It's fear of retribution. It's fear of being lynched. But if you talk about local, I think it's even more exciting to observe that one of maybe one of the biggest organizations in this country is the government itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They hire the most number of people.
Yeah, yeah.
They give the most number amount of funding.
Yeah.
And they would come up with these laws.
Yes.
Now, they're talking about laws, how they can enforce cancel culture is a different
cup of tea. But protecting people from cancel culture.
But you see, this is where it has been now looked at in another way.
Mm-hmm.
That is this also a way of quietly maybe oppressing the views of dissent, maybe making sure that other points of view, journalists, you know, people on social media who really care and they give their point of view. So the thing is, it's very, very thin line that we walk on now, because you can talk about BOFMA. We know, yes, it was necessary. How is it being interpreted? How is it being executed? Is it always fair? Are we making sure that we are not doing it for our own reasons?
Okay, just so to be clear, POFMA can only be done by the government. Yeah. I can't POFMA you.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know? What I'm saying is that's why when we move on to laws against cancel culture, it is the government that
I
is
I think it's very tricky. I agree with you. And it is very difficult to do it. But Singapore has never been afraid of doing that, right? If you think about it, just POFMA itself is already something which is unprecedented in developed countries.
Yeah.
The sort of protection against online falsehoods, the kind of protection against online harassment, all of these things are very revolutionary. And Singapore has been first in the world in a lot of times to do this, especially. So I don't think there's any kind of easy answer to this. I think that what I'm more concerned about is, first of all, that people, when they post online, should not be allowed to post hate speech.
Agree.
Because of the guise of anonymity. A lot of times that the thing about it
trolls,
is
you
that
mean?
Trolls.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
They're bullies. I think they're just online bullies.
Yeah, they are fucking bullies. Yeah. I agree.
And
you all know, you all remember how I fucking hate bullies, right?
Yeah. And but the internet has given power to bullies. The internet has given power because they're anonymous.
Of course.
So I'll give you an example. I'm not saying that we should follow this, but in China, in order for you to post anything online, you must first register. You must have your name, everything, that you're given a number, and then you can go and post wherever you want. But if you post, they will know who you are and what you say.
So fear.
Is it fear or is it accountability?
Correct. So again, right? Now, I mean, just a point out there. When people do not discuss their real opinions, like I said, what we're doing is we're looking at this very, very thin line, which must be discussed. I mean, which they must be debating everywhere before. Yeah. But when you when you do not discuss your real opinions,
bloody hell,
civil discourse ceases, right? And without civil discourse, you are going to lose the benefit.
I mean, sure. I don't think this is. I don't think this is. I think that we're talking about extremism here.
Yeah.
And not about
Then if you're talking about extremism, everybody is going to talk
because you look at cyberbullies and you look at trolls, for example, the things they post that do not contribute to discourse.
But
they don't. They're absolutely freaking off.
But
I mean, I agree. Yes.
But then all three of us agree. Any extremism
Of course, we agree.
So how the question then is, how then do you control?
No, but you see that the problem here is that let's be honest here. We're all Singaporeans here, right? Let's be honest. Singaporeans, in general, we are cry mother, cry father society.
Yes, very much so.
Right?
We are
kaupe kabu.
Yes, whiners, complainers.
Cry mother, cry father. Yeah, we whinge, we whine, we bitch.
Yeah.
And then
there's a lot of complaining online, which is fine.
And then this leads to what? No, a lot of freaking virtue signalers out there. I tell you.
What's your definition?
Let me give you some examples, okay? They seem so awakened to, rules, you know? And they're so inflexible. My mother, I mean, right now she's officially bedridden, but when she was in a wheelchair, right? I used to go pick her up. You know, and the whole family on a Sunday will go to church and we'll go for lunch. And my mom, we wheel her down. I wait in a disabled, covered driveway to pick her up. But I will arrive earlier a bit. I was waiting there in the car. And then I've got people going by. A, either they're glaring or frowning at me. And there's a number. There's a number there that says, if there's illegal parking, call this number, 1-800, blah, blah, blah. I've got people who take a picture of my car, you know? And I said, what?
Yeah, that is not virtue signaling. Those are Karens.
No, those are what?
Karens.
Fuck, to me, Karens are also virtue signalers.
Virtue signaler is a different thing. But okay, we are all against Karens, right?
Righteousness, yes. Okay? Freaking
But that one happens in every society. Fine. You know how many there in America? Oh my God. You know what it is, right? Daisy, you know what a Karen is, right? That term.
Calling out.
No, someone who just basically complains. I want to talk to the manager, you know?
Yeah, I know. But you see, Gilbert, it doesn't mean that it happens so often in America that we should also accept the fact that it should happen here.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that is not a function of the internet so much. The internet gives them a voice.
Oh, come on. You know what they do with this shit? They will put it out online.
Yes, because it gives them a voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But this goes back to my point, right? The problem with social media is that it empowers and gives voice to everybody. There would be somebody, for example, with twisted warp views that ordinarily would be talking to himself in the basement of his apartment, right? Or house,
but
rather.
But there'll be people who will agree with him.
Yes, but the internet, social media, gives him amplification of those crazy views, and all the other crazies then join together.
Correct.
And that is the danger of social media.
Which is my worry always has been.
Yes. So therefore, the control of that is what we're talking about. How do you then ensure that these people do not have that kind of power to go online, bully, harass other people with those kinds of warp views? You see?
How dizzy.
That's the thing. So that is why Singapore, we've got these rules. So there is, you know, you say, okay, I want complete free speech. You can't have that.
We can't because we're not a liberal democracy.
No, but even in America, before the internet, the Supreme Court ruled that there is a limit to free speech. You cannot, for example, this is a very famous case, shout fire in a crowded theater and cause a stampede and say that's my free speech. That was a very famous case.
Isn't that what ex-President Trump has been doing? You say China virus, China virus, China virus. I mean, I know it's not for us to comment on other democracies. But what one of the things that cancel culture has been doing, or Karen, all these social phenomena have been doing, is causing divisiveness like we've never seen before. So, it's my way or the highway. And this platform of, like you said, somebody sitting in the basement and doing that, just putting it out there and the crazies joining in. But then sometimes I look at it, like the double-edged sword, and I think maybe there are some crazies out there who start off this revolution, which is needed. Maybe they go against the grain and they start off something which our society...
But I think that not if you are spreading hate and
falsehoods. But that's a given. That's a given. Yes. But you see, sometimes when you start off something necessarily without
hate... I think we're already way past that
point.
It's a different point. The waking up of the minorities who have been oppressed and all that happened already. So...
Where? In the US?
Right now, here too.
Okay. Let's just talk about this point. I think there was a lot of buzz after the decriminalization of homosexuality in Singapore.
Okay.
And then there was a discussion about what is marriage, what constitutes marriage.
Yeah.
And we all know that.
Yeah.
And you know that there was a lot of buzz between the conservative groups, how they saw it, and between the other groups, the homosexuals or LGBTQ community, who saw it in a different way.
Yeah.
Now, when you read this, I think sometimes it gets hijacked by these people who become extremists, who become, like you said, toxic. But there is a lot of other points of view there who are making a lot of sense. Both sides, and that's again coming back to this thin line that we are treading on. And that's why the reason and discussion for should we have laws? Because laws only come about at a point when, oh my God, this is going out of hand. We can't control it anymore. We need tools to be able to pull people back. Now, that's then the next discussion. Do you think these tools will be fair? Can we really execute them?
I don't think there's one answer, but I think the point to address your point is that those tools are necessary. It's the same thing in the US.
Right.
People are saying that the internet companies have had free reign so far, the social media companies, and they really need to have some guidelines there.
That's why the Congress here.
Yes, exactly. And, yes, you know, I think that that's very important, because otherwise you give free reign to all of the bullies. You give free reign to the toxic people who are out there spreading hate. And, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah, yeah.
He put it very well. He said, we're not talking about about limiting people's speech here. We're talking about not amplifying their speech. And I think that's a very important point.
Well, coming from Borat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gilbert, that is something so interesting, because I'm going to digress. But, you know, there was this point where this shooter in New Zealand came in and attacked him. And I loved it.
You mean
attack
the mosque?
Yes. Yeah. And I loved it at that time when the Prime Minister at that time, Jacinda Ardern, actually said, we are not going to amplify and give this man any credence by even putting his name out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And I think that is the way to go. Because if they want focus, look at me, I'm going to do this. And the world steps away from that and says, we're not going to make you a martyr. Those kind of steps
but
really
I think
make
that
a
the
difference.
Problem is that those kinds of people have free access to social media, to their Facebook, to their Instagram or wherever it is, to their X accounts, former Twitter, and can post anything they want right now. And many of them do. If you actually go into X and you look at some of the posts there, it makes your skin crawl because they're so heavy with hate. And it's interesting because Elon Musk has said, I don't want to censor X. Yeah. All those people that have been cancelled and had their accounts taken away, I'm going to give it back to them.
Including ex-President Trump.
Yes, Trump. And not just that, but also white supremacist organizations all there. Nazis are back inside there. And you look at the things they say. The extermination of these people is the beginning of peace on earth. If we can get rid of the blacks, get rid of the Chinese, and all of that.
Okay.
But they're all there saying these things.
Correct. Just a second. Yeah. I don't want us to go into this whole United States, but because there have been these congressional hearings and there's a lot of hearings, but is anything changing?
I think not in America, because it's very difficult in the US.
How do you feel it is here without these rules yet in place?
It's interesting because let me tell you my experience about this. And this is, again, I don't know whether it's related, but we're talking about algorithms, right? Now, with this show, naturally, there will be shows that I will want to promote, right? On YouTube. Now, I've had a few, the most mundane episodes, decent as shit, get rejected. Under the guise of...
Because you did it shirtless.
I think if I did it shirtless, it probably wouldn't promote the show for free, man.
I didn't even know how I tolerated both of you for so long.
No, because he said the topic was so mild, and yet
it was mild. Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out why.
Because I think the algorithm picked up certain words in dialogue, right, during the shoot. For example, two were rejected based on, you were talking about U.S. Presidential. If I say it now, this show can never be boosted.
Really? Are you
I'm
sure?
Not kidding.
It's so bizarre.
You know, they pick up words, and another one's even worse, that it was shocking content. Huh? And I looked at the episode and I watched it again. I said, there was nothing there. Shocking content. I don't know what's
shocking.
So now Daisy mentioned, and I just said something, right? Let me tell you, this particular one, if I want to boost this show, this particular episode is probably going to get
now
rejected.
That is so some control. That's a private company making a decision on its own, it's not government.
I'm not even alluding this to the government. I'm just saying that having controls, right? Like Facebook, you said Facebook algorithm for the engagement in range.
I agree.
But now we've got these sort of controls as based on an AI.
Yeah, exactly. That is the problem. So there's a separate thing there.
No, I know it's a separate thing. I'm just
is very A but not I. And the problem really
very anal but not okay. What?
No, very A but not it's but, very artificial, but it's not intelligent.
Mine couldn't think artificial.
See there, you always
it's called
down
anal
that.
Intelligence. anal intelligence.
You see now I get
okay. We'll leave your private interests later.
Yeah, I'm hemorrhoids, man. Just to let you guys know, I no longer have issues with hemorrhoids. Just so you know.
That's because we went away.
Never something that I even thought about or wanted to
go. Oh man, I said it feels so good now.
He's trying to
I haven't had an issue with my fire in my ass.
No, no, he's trying to insinuate that after us gone, he has.
I try not to think about that.
You know something? You may have a point there.
Thank you.
No, but just to go back to this very quickly, that the AI makes a lot of errors because there are billions of accounts that they have to monitor. So it sometimes flags things which are ridiculous, and that's a whole separate issue. You know,
The
rise of AI is actually a very interesting topic because you know it is.
You gonna come back for another show?
You know, it really is amazing what they
can do. Come back for another show for the rise of the AI.
Yeah.
And there you go. Terminator getting real,
just
man.
Just be very clear. It's rise of artificial intelligence. Let's be clear. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be rejected once again.
Yeah.
And we'll keep talking and we'll never come on air.
We come up with a new one, the rise of anal intelligence.
I think that's one of the flagged words right now.
Yeah. And what does it got to rise?
But how does it mean, rise? Anal intelligence?
I never ever used that term. That's a term that you came up with.
No. But can I just tell you, it's a very good term because because some of the people
are talking out really, of their ass.
Yes.
Ah,
there. See,
so it's not
it took Grandma Daisy to come up with a definition.
A wise one.
So it's not AI, but it is AI.
Yeah, yes. Let's just play that video, Kai. Let's have these three. Have these two analyze this one.
Hello. Hey, bro. You know your car is on a double yellow line or not? Huh?
So what?
So you're not supposed to park here. Hello.
Hey, why are you filming me?
No, I'm just telling you, you're not supposed to park here, okay?
This is a very quiet area, why? Park a while only, also never mind.
Hey, this type of attitude, sibei jia de, okay? Law is law, what? Hello?
Law? What law? I never see your head wearing any cap, like. You LTA or what?
Hey, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you that I'm a concerned citizen, okay? Okay?
You go and concern our country, think better lah, my ties, you don't want low.
Hey, brother.
Hey. Don't call me brother, what brother? My house only two elder brother lah. Brother.
Okay. If you're not gonna drive away, I have no choice but to report you, understand lah?
You really very busy body there. You look at my engine. It's running. That means I'm not parking. Understand or?
Okay, no, that is wrong, okay? A stationary vehicle like this, no matter the engine is on or off, it's considered parking, okay?
Parking. I park le lo mo ah, parking.
Hey, you're not schooling my mother, is it?
Hey, I why got school my mother? Le lo mo means your mother ma. I say, park your mother.
Okay. I'm going to send this video to your kid right now.
You so free, you go and send lah, Yo.
Oi!
You see or not? I'm driving! I'm not parking!
Oh, okay. Okay, now you wanna play punk right with me, right? Okay, no problem, I tell you. Now, I'm gonna send this video to our team. Now!
Hey, you want you send now? You keep saying you think what I scared ah! Hey, pop. Oi! Papa! What did the doctor say? Is everything okay or not?
Aiyah, just high blood pressure. Don't worry lah, just say rest more. Don't eat so much sugar and carbo. My God.
I told you before already, Papa, you must cut down your sugar level. Careful. You really have to listen to the doctor
Aiyah, I didn't lah, just a little bit only.
Okay careful Come here.
Bro. Sorry, I didn't know that you're waiting for your grandma. So you basically you park here. So
never mind lah. I should have explained the situation better. I was quite quiet lah, also lah. Never mind lah.
Hey, take care of grandma. Okay, take care of grandma.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this was taken off Singapore 100's Facebook page. Thank you, guys. It was a very nice video.
Interesting,
right? Interesting.
That's a Karen.
Huh?
That's the definition of a Karen.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, that guy looks a bit like Felix Cheung. Don't get angry with me, Felix. Felix is a nice guy. Real nice guy. That guy's a Karen. But don't you recognize? We have a lot of them like this here.
Yes. But
tons.
I think that, again, there is a line, because you do not want people to be able to get away with things if it really causes problems. Sometimes people have to speak out. But if it is really something which is innocuous, then no need to get so worked up about it. Yeah, and there is a way of conveying it nicely.
Here's the problem,
also.
You see, Gilbert, you see, Daisy. If that scenario is real, which I'm sure there have been some. I would not be surprised in the least. Otherwise, they can't come
up with a
story.
But people will not go and confront.
Like
they will just film secretly.
Correct.
And then
LTA comes and you're waiting for your old, you know...
I think it's different if there's someone in the car. There's someone in the car, it really is fine because there's a driver there. The problem is when people park there, leave their flasher, and then disappear.
Yes.
You know? Because anytime if there's a driver there, they will not give you trouble. Yeah, they will just tell you move along.
See, like me, for example. I'm not going to like throw my troubles all out for the whole world to hear about. But for example, I go pick my mom. Mm-hmm. I got no one with me. And I got to go get her from her home. So I leave my car below. I have my flashing lights on, right? In that disabled pickup spot. I rush like a mad monkey to help my mom in and get her into the lift and get her down, hoping that no one's going to take a picture of my... I have that worry that somebody may misunderstand the situation and you get in trouble. Then you got to go through the whole rigmarole of appealing and then all that kind of stuff. It's just that people need to just get along.
Okay, but okay.
Tolerate a little bit.
Let's put it this way, okay? If it was not someone who is a Karen Kepo, right? It could be an LTA enforcement
person. Exactly.
Yeah. In that case, they're just doing their job, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I also feel, looking at this video, I mean, that things would have been so much better if the window had come down, he had knocked and he was without that phone filming.
Yeah.
I think those are the kind of things that one has to be very wary.
You get very riled when people do that.
You can ask in a gentle manner and say, this is incorrect. And the person would say, I know, boss, but I'm waiting for my mother.
Yeah.
But the first sentence he said was, are you filming me?
Yeah.
Because then that's the, I'm filming you, you film me, I'll do this, I'll do it. And that's very disappointing.
Nowadays, using that phone is like trading punches, you know? You take out your phone, you film me, I take out my phone, I film you. And then we are now trading punches.
Having said that,
I
agree that there has to be where are you not going to tell this person, this is a double yellow line, stop? Because today, double yellow line doesn't have any meaning at all.
At least
where I stay, I have tons of cars all parked on. And while I'm driving past, I'm like, but that's a double yellow line. That's a double yellow
line. You know,
and nobody really cares.
Along the same vein, I've seen posts online of people who are in wheelchairs saying that I was unable to get up the ramp
because there's a car there. Yes. Yeah.
You know, and then it really caused me a problem because it's very difficult to wheel myself to go to the other one.
So
we have to be just considerate.
I think the main thing now is all these topics that we were talking about, it's about the accountability and understanding to yourself. It's asking yourself about being
and also to the community,
to yourself.
Right?
No, so first when you realize that this is this right? Is this wrong? And you can answer that truthfully. I think it passes forward to the community as well, right?
I mean, basically, each person just have got to do their part and do it right and don't cross anyone. You know what I mean?
Just be considerate.
Just be considerate.
So nobody has filmed you yet, is it?
Yeah.
Nobody has filmed you yet.
Well, I think I
will have to follow my phone.
Because sometimes I do know, since I moved in here, man, I'm on the lower floor and right in front of my bedroom window are trees. So now I no longer have to shut my curtains when I take after I take a shower and then change up and all that kind of stuff.
You never know.
So I know that I will not be breaking any laws.
You can't change in your bedroom.
I don't know why he keeps putting this.
But I don't need to close
these images in my head
anymore.
No,
I'm giving you a brain conjunctivitis.
I don't know. He says it and it goes into your head. I don't understand why. Look at me. I take
it
into this year.
Get it.
I'm very visual.
No, I get it.
Immediately, I see everything. And it's not a picture I want to see.
Are you sure you don't want to see that picture?
No.
I work for so many.
At the very least, please shave.
But I worked for so many years.
I made it personally. I made it a personal goal this morning. I told myself, Gilbert's coming. Gilbert says something stupid like this. You have got to shave. And I did. Why? I did what? What's wrong?
Okay.
I'm just going to
say. Oh, you're talking about elsewhere, huh?
No, no. Yeah, are you? How do you expect this episode to be aired anywhere?
Yeah, exactly.
It will be
this
aired.
Kind of discussion.
No, why? What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with this discussion, what?
Anyway,
I've been a producer so many years, but somehow these visuals always get edited from my mind.
It's a podcast.
Good for you.
It's a podcast. Yeah. You know, and as podcasts go, I mean, let's all be very, you know, casual and let's be people. Let's be real. I don't believe in being fake, man.
Okay, moving on from Chris being naked in his bedroom in front of the window.
I mean, I didn't say naked. I didn't say naked.
You're coming out of the shower.
Coming out of the shower doesn't necessarily mean I'd be naked. Right? Oh, I got my towel wrapped around me kind of stuff and all that.
Okay. All right.
Gilbert,
okay.
He got you there.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. What were you thinking, man? Come on.
No. My mind's eye got conjunctivitis again.
You can't even say it. 2 years, yes. He can't say it anymore. He's like getting stuck in his throat.
Oh, man. Oh, the years go by.
Yes.
Okay, we've been talking for about, let's see now, how long? About 1 hour already. Yeah. So let's do it just for old time's sake, yeah? Let's end the show with how we used to end the show. I've got my ditty. I will be the last to do it.
And I've got my saying.
Daisy has got her saying. And Gilbert, I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to say. He usually says the same things. But let's see. So Gilbert, you go first, man. Let's say goodbye.
Okay. I would like to say, first of all, thank you, Chris, for getting us back again.
Yeah, yeah. Happy to do it, man.
And to all of you for tolerating us. And
again.
Yes, again. I think that I just want to end by saying that we have to be very smart in how we consume social media, that what you see out there is very often extremist and amplification of both the best and the worst. And that don't get so enraged, because the best thing to do is actually skip reading the comments and don't comment if you're reading articles, because the algorithm really is just trying to get you furious. Go on. And that we will all be better off if we acted online the way that we should act in real life, which is to be kind.
Yes, be kind. I remember. Be kind.
To ourselves and to each other.
And to Chris.
Yes, and Chris.
Yes.
I like the way you say consume social media. I don't know why, but in my head, my visual, I see food.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, the way he says consume makes me hungry, man. But, you know, it just, yeah.
Thank you, Chris. I don't
know. It's the way you say consume. Other people say consume. We don't really feel that. But when Gilbert says the word consume,
I should do voiceovers for restaurants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a plate of steak. Consume. Hey, Gordon Ramsay might call you, man.
Thank you.
Okay. Grandma.
Yes. I thank you for having us once again. It was really such fun. I hope the listeners enjoy it as well.
Yeah, we are talking rubbish all the time, yeah.
And now that we were talking about, you know, social media and writing and, you know, anonymously and putting it out there, I just want to end by saying these are the words of Omar Khayyam. Okay. And what he wrote, the Persian poet, what he wrote at that time, wisdom for us to learn now, today. The moving finger writes, and having written moves on. Nor all thy piety, not all thy wit, can cancel half a line of it.
Mm.
So he said this so long back, but we have to remember, once it's out there, you can't take it back.
The internet is forever.
That's it. So thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. For listening, and thank you guys.
Wait. Okay. Once and for all, I just want to know, all this time, I've never asked, I don't think I did, I'm going to ask now, who the hell is Omar Khayyam?
Alama, you really?
Yeah, I really.
He's a Persian poet.
He must have skipped that day in English lit.
Poet. He's an Iranian poet.
Yes.
Iranian poet.
From long ago?
1028, around 80.
1028.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
So he's talking about writing at that time.
Yes.
But the thinking is the same, right?
Yeah.
You write something and it's out there forever. Yeah. You type something, it's going to be there out forever.
Because
you can't cancel a single line. So beware of what you put
because
there.
Whenever you say Omar Khayyam, I always have this image in my head too.
Of a restaurant.
No.
About consuming.
Backgammon.
backgammon?
The actor. What's his name? Omar Sharif.
Sharif.
Ah.
Oh my God.
Then I say, no, get it out of your head. It's not him. It's not him. It's not him. So now I know it's Omar Khayyam.
But even if I said
hello, four O levels. Oh my God. Okay, quite dingbat.
He was very handsome.
Dingbat.
Omar Sharif.
Okay.
Omar Sharif. Okay. No, all right. There's different, that's the different Omar, right?
Yeah.
Thank you guys. It's been so fun, man. Really. I wish we do this more often. We should do this more often, actually. I'm giving a big hint. Okay. Here's my.
I'm gonna close my eyes again.
I thought I would never
see
that.
I think I've not
yet. One more time. Okay. And the ditty goes like this. On this first anniversary, it is only fitting. Though this gathering seems rather fleeting, the time spent in the studio again does deserve some gleeing. That word exists. It exists. I checked. With dear Daisy and Gilbert just being on my show had set my heart aglow.
Aww.
So thank you for taking time once again as my partners in crime. We opine, sometimes whinged and whined, but doing this together again made everything just fine.
Aww.
Yes.
So in my humble opinion, and I don't want to be an onion, happy first anniversary to Chris Hansen Conversation.
Yes.
Yay. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Many more.
Thank you. And happy anniversary to you too, Kai. Say hi, Kai.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Thank you, everyone, for really being around for this season 3 of the show. It's been 12 episodes and, actually 13, but 12 in total because we got a part 1 and part 2 with Mr. Joe Augustin. But thank you for spending time with us and with me. Season 4 will come. It will take a little while. We're taking a little slightly longer break this time because I need to breathe a little bit. And you know, it's not easy doing this, okay? It really isn't. But keep your comments coming. Please keep sharing and hit that notification button. Hit the goddamn bell on YouTube, okay? And then we are also available, don't forget, on audio platforms like Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, that is, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and all good podcast platforms. Thanks, guys. I'll see you for season 4. I promise you we'll do even better. Have a great time. Have a great, great end of year. And we'll see you in basically before the year ends. What am I saying? We'll be back in October 2024. Bye-bye, everyone.
Give applause.